Hi, I'm Steve Ruzicka with Ruzicka Ranch in Lomita, Texas. You're listening to the latest news in Texas agriculture on Texas Ag Today.
This is Texas Ag Today, the number one source for the latest news in Texas agriculture. The largest and most experienced farm news team in the Lone Star State covers it all. From the piney woods of East Texas to the rocky ranges of the Trans-Pecos, and from the Panhandle down to the Rio Grande Valley. Here's today's top stories.
We know that the recent wildfires have been devastating for many Texas Panhandle ranches. I'm James Hunt, and coming up on Texas Ag Today, we'll check in on area feed yards.
A U.S. senator is questioning foreign ownership of ag lands in the United States. I'm Jessica Dolmel, and I'll have more coming up on Texas Ag Today.
A very good attendance is expected this week at the Rio Grande Valley Livestock Show and Rodeo. I'm Tom Nicoletti, and I'll have more about the 85th Annual Livestock Show and Rodeo from the Valley on Texas Ag Today.
Now, here's the host of Texas Ag Today, Kerry Martin.
Hello, Texas. Why don't you jump on in with me and buckle up? We're going to take a ride around the Lone Star State as we cover the most important industry in this greatest state in the nation, Texas agriculture. Be sure to hold on tight because it all starts right now. Farm groups across the nation are emphasizing the need for a new, modernized farm bill to be passed this year. At the recent Commodity Classic in Houston, I asked National Association of Wheat Growers CEO Chandler Gould about it.
I mean, the big topic that everybody here is talking about is the fact that we do not have a new farm bill already signed into law that expired September 30th of last year. And that one-year extension was needed. But the House and the Senate continue to kick the appropriation bill down the road. And as long as they keep doing that, we will not get a farm bill written this year. And the 2018 farm bill had a lot of great programs in it, but we have to be very realistic. The cost of production for any commodity, including wheat, in 2018 has significantly increased by 2024. And the farm bill needs to be updated to reflect that increase.
But the further we get into 2024, the less the possibility that Congress will get it done. In fact, Texas A&M farm policy specialist Dr. Joe Outlaw says it's not going to happen.
I don't expect it to be done in 24 unless something wild happens after the election. And even then, if House or Senate flips, it's going to be enough change that I don't think it'll happen early in 25 either.
Outlaw's best guess is we'll see a farm bill passed in the summer of 2025. There are more than 230,000 farms spanning more than 125 million acres in Texas right now.
According to a new report from the U.S. Department of Agriculture, the majority of those farms, 140,000 of them, are small farms, selling between $1,000 and $10,000 annually. More than 70,000 farms are in the next economic class, selling between $10,000 and $100,000 worth of products each year. That's down 300 farms from the same time last year. 8,500 Texas farms average between $100,000 and $250,000 in sales each year. The rest of the farms make between $250,000 and $1 million or more annually. USDA says those economic sales classes are based on the gross value of agricultural products sold and government program payments. For the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network, I'm Jessica Domel.
Texas Panhandle feedlots didn't lose any cattle in the recent wildfires, but James Hunt tells us they may suffer some longer-term effects.
The toll on Texas Panhandle ranches from recent wildfires has been significant, with the loss of thousands of cattle. But did any of our area feed yards suffer damage or losses? I asked Ben Weinheimer of the Texas Cattle Feeders Association.
We did have situations where the fire burned right up to the edge, if you will, of some of our feed yards. Now, those cattle stayed put. The cattle themselves were not directly impacted by the fire. They did receive significant smoke as a result of that fire. And the health of those cattle will continue to be monitored going forward to see if those smoke impacts have any long-term effects.
On another point, with the substantial loss of forage suffered by so many ranches, I asked Weinheimer if feed yards have seen a surge of early placements.
Not at this point. If you look at where we're at this time of year, many of these ranches would have just started the calving season or are about to start the calving season. So we're looking at a situation on those ranches where you have mama cows and just fairly newborn calves that are going to spend or would have intended to spend the next 6 months of their life there with their mama cow on those pastures. So it's too early in the life cycle of those calves for them to be transferred to a feed yard.
Many ranchers are probably looking for alternative pastures for their animals, but Weinheimer says,
here in the short term, absolutely amazing outpouring of support through donations of hay, of cake, and other resources are what will help those ranches sustain those cows and those calves.
Information on making donations is available on the Texas Cattle Feeders Association website, tcfa.org. I'm James Hunt on the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.
A U.S. senator is questioning foreign ownership of farmland in the United States. Jessica Domel has that story.
A U.S. senator is expressing his concern with foreign companies or countries owning agricultural land in the United States. U.S. Senator John Fetterman of Pennsylvania recently shared his concerns with Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack in a Senate Ag Committee hearing.
One thing I wanted to talk about now, and I hear this again and again, is concerns, and I share those concerns, is foreign countries owning our land. Is that an issue that you might be concerned with?
Vilsack told the committee that roughly 3% of agricultural land in the U.S. is owned by foreign interests.
The challenge is whether or not we have an accurate read on that based on the system, which is an honor system, where folks are supposed to report if they are a foreign owner. Some folks do, some folks may not.
The Agricultural Foreign Investment Disclosure Act, which was passed in 1978, tracks and monitors investment in U.S. agriculture. It requires self-reporting by any foreign person who buys, sells, or holds a direct or indirect interest in U.S. agricultural land. Agricultural groups, including the American Farm Bureau Federation, are calling for this system to be updated, as the form only requires the predominant investor in their country to be listed. The groups say it shields minority shareholders and makes it harder to track ownership of U.S. ag lands beyond a third tier. Senator Fetterman told Vilsack in the hearing he's concerned with the amount of agricultural land in the U.S. that China owns.
They effectively own about half the size of Rhode Island.
Here's Vilsack again.
My concern about China is twofold. One, the location of whatever they own, whether it represents a security issue. We found recently the desire to buy land that was close to a defense installation. I have concerns about that. China is also our number one ag customer from an export perspective. And when I was meeting with the agriculture minister, he inquired about certain laws that were being passed in the United States, which means that they are sensitive to what they're hearing. And the question is whether or not that will impact their buying decisions and whether that matters to anybody on the Ag Committee or anybody in the Congress.
The senator asked Vilsack if, to his knowledge, American farmers or companies are buying land in China.
No.
Why not?
China doesn't provide that.
We'll have more on this issue in upcoming episodes. For the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network, I'm Jessica Domel.
The Rio Grande Valley Livestock Show and Rodeo is underway. Tom Nicoletti goes to the valley for an update.
We go to the Rio Grande Valley of Texas, to the city of Mercedes, where Rio Grande Valley Livestock Show and Rodeo is underway. It started March 7th and runs through the 17th of this month. And Luis Saldana is my guest. He is executive director and general manager of the Valley Livestock Show and Rodeo. And Luis, what kind of attendance are you expecting for the week?
Well, we're expecting a great week. The weather's fantastic. Our normal attendance is around 400,000 people in our 11-day span, and so we're hoping to break that kind of threshold this year.
From mutton busting and calf scrambles for the kids to livestock exhibits and scholarships to the competitors. That's certainly a big part of your livestock show, right?
It certainly is. We've got approximately 7,500 entries from over 3,000 exhibitors from across the Rio Grande Valley and the state of Texas. Of course, our PRCA rodeo is a big draw as well to our event every year.
Various exhibits are set up there on the show grounds, including Texas Farm Bureau's Doorways to Agriculture exhibit. That certainly attracts a lot of visitors and children to learn more about food and fiber industry.
It sure does, and it falls directly in line with our mission as an organization to educate youth and promote agriculture. The Doorways to Ag exhibit has its own dedicated location here in our youth center. Our ability to draw people in from the community that may not necessarily be as connected to ag as they would lead themselves to believe gives us a great opportunity, and we're appreciative of Farm Bureau's exhibit because it helps us make that connection between agriculture and people in their everyday lives. So it's a really important part of our show and our mission.
That is Luis Saldana. He is with the Rio Grande Valley Livestock Show and Rodeo. I'm Tom Nicoletti at the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.
March is always a challenge for gardeners in Texas, especially with the weather. We've seen extremes one way to the other. So please join me, John Begner, as we talk about landscaping in Texas in March.
And stem cells from horses' teeth are providing insight into tooth health. Veterinarian Dr. Bob Judd has more on that coming up.
These stories plus a look at the markets are straight ahead on Texas Ag Today.
Wildfires have devastated Texas ranches, burning millions of acres of rangeland, destroying buildings and fences, and killing thousands of cattle. You can help by donating to the Texas Panhandle Wildfire Relief Fund. Go to texasfarmbureau.org and click the red Wildfire Relief Fund button at the top of the page. 100% of every dollar you donate will go directly to a Texas rancher to help them rebuild. Go to texasfarmbureau.org to donate.
We're heard on over 140 great Texas radio stations. This is Texas Ag Today on the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.
March is always a challenge for Texas gardeners. San Angelo horticulturalist John Begno explains.
Well, I only need to tell you, you've probably witnessed some of this weather, everything from extreme heat in February to early March. And now we can always expect a cold spell. Remember, the old timers used to say that if it thundered in February, you would have a frost in April. And we saw that this year. And so maybe that will come true and maybe not. But we see a lot of plants available out there at the garden center. And we want to be the early bird because we see in Texas that if we can get plants established while its weather is good before it gets really hot, they not only perform better, they bloom better, they set fruit better if it's a vegetable, etc. So we like to get that early start. So if it's not an expensive investment, and you're talking about, let's say, tomato plants and pepper plants and things that you might be able to cover, take that risk, take that chance, because in most areas of Texas, 2 weeks can make a big difference in how much production you have in vegetable gardens. Also, establishing beautiful plants. And this goes for container plants. If you're a container gardener, for whatever reason, you like patio plants, there are some really beautiful selections already available out there at garden centers and nurseries, and it doesn't hurt if we plant those and we can either move that container if the weather gets a little cooler or cover it and we can protect it, because many of these plants that we're going to choose can take temperatures right at freezing. So don't be afraid of getting the early jump in March. And remember a couple other things. We're in that phase where we're cleaning everything up, getting it ready for spring. So if you haven't cut back all of those dead-headed plants, it's time to do that. Wrap up all pruning. No pruning on oak trees because of oak wilt right now. But we're wrapping up those winter chores and trying to beautify our garden and get things ready. And yes, we can lower the lawnmower and kind of get those old dead grass clippings out of the way. Get it prepared for new growth in the spring. We can do that. Just don't get so carried away that you destroy your turf by going too low with your mulching mowers or whatever.
This is John Begno reporting for Texas Ag Today from San Angelo.
Stem cells from horses' teeth are providing insight into tooth health. Dr. Bob Judd has more.
Researchers in Germany have indicated in a horse publication that mesenchymal stem cells, or MSCs, are helping us to know how equine teeth develop, grow, and maintain their health. Although complicated to isolate, MSCs could improve regeneration in periodontal lesions, periodontal cells reattachment, and dental implantation, as well as shed some light on the lifelong eruption of equine teeth. Unlike human and many animal teeth, horses' teeth never stop erupting and require constant renewing of the periodontal ligament, which anchors the teeth into the jaw. Also, equine teeth experience lifelong wear of the occlusal surface, which can cause opening of the pulp cavity and pulpitis, or inflammation of the pulp. A study of the teeth in horses that recently died showed mesenchymal stem cells were present and were viable. Study of these stem cells may help researchers to determine how equine teeth respond to endodontic treatment, which means treatment of pulp disease. Isolating the stem cells from equine teeth may help the researchers test various therapies on the regenerative capacity of the horse's teeth. It is possible some of the cleaning and filling materials for endodontic treatment could damage the pulp and lead to ineffective treatment. This study shows that mesenchymal stem cells can be harvested from the equine teeth of live horses or horses immediately after death. However, the teeth have to be healthy to contain stem cells, and extracting a healthy tooth from a live horse is not really an ethical thing to do just to get stem cells, as there are other sources of stem cells. Extracting stem cells from the root canal of a live tooth will likely kill the tooth. I'm veterinarian Dr. Bob Judd. This is the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.
We'll check the markets coming up next on Texas Ag Today.
Catastrophic wildfires have scorched over 1 million acres in the Texas Panhandle. Homes, barns, fences, and livestock have been lost. You can help farmers and ranchers who have been affected by these fires by donating to the Texas Panhandle Wildfire Relief Fund. 100% of all donations received go directly to farmers and ranchers impacted by these fires. To make a tax-deductible donation, go to texasfarmbureau.org and click the red Wildfire Relief Fund button at the top of the page.
Here's the latest market information on Texas Ag Today.
Let's take a look back at how the markets wrapped up on Monday. Cattle futures started the day higher. That didn't last long, however. We quickly turned lower, and we ended up steady to lower on the close. We'll start with live cattle, where April was the steady contract. It was unchanged, 187.60. June down 40 cents, 183.02. The August down 20 at 182.05. Feeder cattle closing lower. March feeders down 95 cents, 248.25. April down a dollar, 253.10. While May was down $1.37, 255.37. Cash fed cattle trade wrapping up last week, selling cattle $2 to $4 higher. Here in the South, we saw sales on a live basis 185 to 186. In the North, live sales 185 to 187, with dressed sales from $292 to $300. Boxed beef prices mixed. Monday choice up $1.48, 308.52. Select down 21 cents, 297.22. Now let's check the auction barns. We're walking the pens with Larry Marble.
Madison Bexley, Lockhart Livestock, how was your Thursday sale?
We had a pretty good day. We ended up with 1042, 265 cows and 36 bulls, 186 sellers, and 99 buyers.
Walk the pens with me.
On the stalker cows, we had a couple different sets off of place that we got along real good on. The good pairs brought from 1850 to 2550. The mediocre and middle-aged pairs from 1250 to 1800. The good bred cows from 15 to 2150. The mediocre middle-aged and shortbred cows from 1000 to 1450. The longhorn and the planter ends of the breads from 650 to 975. Packer cows and bulls would have been about steady with a week ago. The good high yielding cows, $1.15 to $1.28. Medium yielding cows from $1 to $1.14. Low yielding and lightweight cows from 78 to 99. The good high yielding bulls from $1.38 to $1.5150. Medium yielding bulls from $1.30 to $1.37. The low yielding and lightweight bulls from $1.05 to $1.28. And on the calves and yearlings, they would have sold most mostly steady on a good active market. So all in all, it's a real good day.
Good. Tell everybody how to get in on a good market next week at Lockhart.
You can always check us out on Facebook, or you can call the barn at 512-398-3476. My cell phone at 979-540-9793. Or you can ring Bubba at 512-461-6091.
We appreciate it. Thank you, Madison.
Thank you, sir.
Bye-bye. Maybe that's all the time we've got for Walking the Pens here on the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network. That was Maddie Bexley. I'm Larry Marble. Thanks so much for listening. Good day.
Thank you, Larry. Back over to the futures market now, where lean hogs finished lower. April hogs down $1.10, 83.27. May hogs down 75 cents at 90.60. Class 3 milk was lower. March milk down 8 cents, 16.49 a hundredweight, with April milk down 15 at 15.93 a hundred. Cotton close mixed after a strong start. Of course, we're coming off a limit down close on Friday in the cotton market. We started out Monday's trade with a sharp spike higher on the nearby May contract. It was up over 200 points at one time. However, when we wrapped it up on the close, it had lost all of those gains and headed into negative territory. May cotton down 22 points to close at 95.06. July was up 42, 94.34, with new crop December up 28 points, 83.27 cents. Corn and wheat both finishing higher. March corn up 2 cents, 428 and a quarter. May up 2, 441 and three quarters, with September corn up 1 1/4, 460 and a half. Both hard and soft wheat making nice gains, with May Kansas City wheat up 10 cents, 598 and three quarters. New crop July up 13 and a half, 587 and three quarters. Over on the soft wheat market, May Chicago wheat up 9 1/2, 547 and a quarter. New crop July up 10 and three quarters, 561 a bushel. In the energy markets, April natural gas was down 4 cents at $1.76. April West Texas crude oil up 11, 78.12 a barrel. The financial markets mixed Monday afternoon. The Dow up 28 points, 38,750. The NASDAQ down 56 at 16,028. The S&P down 7 at 5,116. That wraps up our look at the markets, and that wraps up this episode of Texas Ag Today. I'm Kerry Martin. Hope to see you back here next time as we cover the most important industry in this greatest state in the U.S. of A, Texas agriculture.
Thanks for joining us for Texas Ag Today. Be sure to follow the Texas Ag Today podcast, found wherever you listen to podcasts. For more Texas farm and ranch news, check out our website at texasfarmbureau.org or tfbradio.com. Texas Ag Today is a production of the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.